I was looking at that clock and it's off the mic.
Couple minutes.
Clemens got two, but he left the room.
He's not to the end.
That's roll call. Okay, so we have Supervisor Cardinelli and Franco excused. Everyone else is here. Approval of minutes of the previous meeting. Did everyone receive a copy of that? Did anybody read it?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Supervisor Poole, motion to approve, seconded by Supervisor Juhas. Any discussion? Do the governor? Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
That's done. Just a couple comments. We had a busy couple of weeks after, before winter. And quite a few things happened besides our staff being very busy. And Ray will probably give you a little information, but everybody was very busy, I'm sure. Clement was, we had actually three storms in 2 weeks there, and then the deep freeze, so everybody performed very well. And if you read the comments in the paper and even on the news that I saw in the highway department, extremely well. And no one knew in Kenosha County that anything went even marginally wrong. So that means there was a whole lot of work going on there to keep everything, especially our buildings, our facilities people. You know, Ray was swamped with things. I want to thank everybody for what they did there. So any supervisors, any comments?
And I guess to reflect what Supervisor Chairman Alvin said, and I hope it's not because it's a board member on that road, but the roads were real, best I've seen them in my neck of the woods. Now, with that being said, did Randall contact anyone over here? We have a stop sign and a street sign down from our plow. Because Randall hires the county, so it didn't matter whether it's on Randall Road or county. But it looks like they came off KD on 117th. Now, I know you can't do anything about it because of the weather, but you have a stop sign and a street sign down on 117th at KD. You're probably just laying in the snow now. I just kept watching them go further down. And then there's another one. It looks like when Mattel plowed out, looks like they plowed across. It looks like they got one of our signs on CK, just across from the Mattel there, their outbuilding, whatever it is, it's over there.
It's across from?
I'm sorry?
Across at CK Way.
On CK, there's a road, there's a sign that I think it's telling someone, I can't remember what the sign was, but it's just an indication of a caution sign. I don't know if it's a stop ahead or, turn up ahead or something like that. But it's one of our signs on CK. I'll take a drive pass and I'll send you a shout.
It was near Mattel, it's right at Ski Hill.
Yeah. So, just west of W.
Usually folks are pretty good about calling them in and then we get them on.
That's
we got
what
a
I
lot.
Thought, and I didn't know for sure if that was something that you.
We appreciate it. We'll check it out.
And I run across anybody, when it gets nicer out, they can actually do something with them back up. But I didn't know if anyone brought that up to you.
No, not yet. Oh, maybe they did. Went down there, but
maybe check the list.
Yeah. Anything else? That will dig right in. Oh, and we'll start with Matt Collins. And for those of you that didn't know, Matt had a very interesting last couple of weeks. His son that was born right near, I think, St. Patrick's Day last year was in the hospital for
on St. Patrick's Day.
On St. Patrick's Day. For a good 8 days. And thank God he's home and well. So, Matt, we appreciate you being here. You're probably catching up on your sleep.
Trying to. So,
I just wanted, because I noticed there's somebody here, I don't know if for citizens' comments, if there was.
Oh, my, I'm so used to not having.
Right, so I don't know if that's what he's here for or not. But
are you?
What?
Citizens' comments? Do you have any comments?
No.
Okay.
I'm here to listen.
No. Well, citizens' comments are closed. Okay. Now we'll start with that. I'm sorry.
So, thank you again for the kind words, Mr. Chairman.
The first thing on the list is just a Pringle Nature Center reports. I don't go into the details of them, but per our contract, we always include them on a quarterly basis for all committee members to review, and if there's any questions, be more than happy to answer them now or at a later time. So the packet should be there for your reading pleasure.
Yes.
I can just add to that report. The naturalist Valerie Mann has left Pringle Nature Center. She has taken a job in Lawrence, Kansas. So they'll be doing their search for a new naturalist in the upcoming weeks.
Perfect. So, moving on, the next topic is a resolution to accept grant funding for Kenosha County Parks, Kemper Center, Shoreline Protection. So if you remember, about a year or so ago, we initially had received funding through the same grant, the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program, and that was for approximately total project cost was $121,000. We again applied through the same grant application process to include stormwater management, material inventory, and also permitting for that same Kemper Coastal Management project. This will get us that much closer and more accurate with our engineering specifications. So when hopefully a grant opportunity or funding comes available for the actual construction, we'll be better aligned to have that shovel-ready project. So the resolution in front of you basically includes a budget modification to the 2019 budget to include the $60,000, half of which would be $30,000 taken out of Kenosha County funds to get this work accomplished as part of the engineering study.
Does anybody have any questions on this grant?
I'll make a motion to approve the grant funding.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Zelisky, motion by Supervisor Udine. Any further discussion? If not, Chief of Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. And
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can we back up a second? I meant to ask a question about the Pringle minutes there.
Sure.
Where it says park expansion. Kenosha County Corporate Council will approach landowners of the identified expansion areas. Which areas were that? Was it like the Bristol Airport there, or is this?
I'm glad you brought that up. So I don't think it was accurately represented within those minutes for actually what has and has not occurred. So originally, when we had a meeting between the county executive and Barry Thomas, the chairman of board, Supervisor Juhas was actually in attendance as well. Basically, Pringle gave a wish list to the county of what the board would like to see in the future for Pringle Nature Center and for Bristol Woods Park. As far as those properties go, Corp Council did not approach any property owners. This was just a topic that was had that I wasn't part of that actual meeting, but I actually called Barry Thomas when I saw that just to clarify, hey, this is more of a wish list, let's get some priorities going so we can see which ones are feasible. And that's where we're at, is that feasibility stage as of now. So as of now, nothing is being done as far as property acquisitions, negotiating, or anything with our Corp Council. So Barry, it probably should have been worded a little bit different within that report, so I apologize. But the reality is that we're in the feasibility stage for that and other projects as far as that wish list goes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. That, yeah, we all talked about that. That might be 40 years down the line, but it's not now.
Okay. So as far as the division reports goes, Boundless Adventures, they're making a lot of progress. Now, I'm sure they weren't out there in the sub-below freezing temperatures, but they did complete the utility pole installation, started on the main platform, and they're attaching cables to the trees and utility poles, so things are progressing on schedule for the Aerial Adventure Park. As far as the Bristol Woods Parkway reconstruction project, we did get our bids back on the 16th of this month. Bids did come back above estimates, so right now, we're working with a parent low bidder and starting negotiating on a value engineering solution to get those bids back into our budget. So hopefully by next month, we'll have a little bit more information for the committee on how those negotiations went. As far as KD Park, some operational updates. If anyone has ever been back to the western acquisition area of KD Park, you could see that how it was left through the previous owner was not in the best of conditions. And we recently, over the last couple months, removed 23 tons of tires on that section alone, and there's still plenty of tires to be collected throughout that site. Also, we wanted to try to, instead of just tossing or throwing away a lot of that industrial waste, we put it out for auction, and it was quite surprising on how many people actually bid on these things, which helps us out just to get rid of it, to be honest. It's just less labor intensive for us to try to drag, haul, and even scrap. So this way we just do one auction, we were able to get rid of a lot of that industrial waste, which was a benefit. So it's looking a little bit more clean over there. The asphalt pile still remains, but obviously it's going to be repurposed for our upcoming county highway projects. As far as Kemper Center, there was some damage that occurred before we had the roofs redone within the Ambrose Center as well as the South Cloister. So now the roofs have been repaired. We did the interior work and got those water damages repaired this last month. So that project is substantially complete.
Yeah. Question, Kemper Center. Do we have everything rented out up there now, those studios?
There's four studios left, so
yeah,
they're doing really, really well as far as renting those, so very popular.
Good.
Pike River Restoration, the enhanced shop bluff stabilization bids, a total of four bids were received back on the 22nd of this last month. The bids came all within estimates, so now we're just working with that apparent low bidder to make sure that they got all their bonds, insurance documents, and hopefully we can share some more information on where those bids came back this next month as well. As far as the Pets Building and Ball Field project, very competitive. Seven bids came back for that one back on January 24th, four which were within estimates. So same story there. We're just trying to work with that apparent low bidder. Might have to just clarify a couple odds and ends just to make sure that the scope is appropriate, and then we'll get some more information on that one this next month too. As Supervisor Yupas said, under the Pringle Nature Center, the Pringle Naturalist resigned. And then also, as I mentioned, the quarterly reports were attached. West End Park Maintenance Crew Leader, this is a new position that was approved in the 2019 budget. So we just finished interviews last week. So we'll be reviewing those candidates and hopefully we'll have someone hired on by February at the earliest, so this month. Last but not least, actually January is a fairly busy month for events, so if you think special events are only in spring, summer, that's year-round for us, and even they're doing these Tinker Garden classes, which is bringing kids into the parks, and they're doing winter-based youth recreation programming over at Pets. So yeah, definitely a year-round activities for us, and that is all I have for my report.
Thank you, Matt. Yes.
Yeah, curious, what's the building over there?
Yeah, we have, this is the second time under, when I was director, or am director, that they shot a film within our park. So, remind me, Ray, what was the first one that your son was? The Rocket.
The Rocket.
The Rocket. Yeah. So the Rocket was filmed in Fox River and some of Silver Lake Park. Yeah. And the same director came back to us because he loves our parks and the scenery so much that the movie's called Blame. And there is a car accident scene that they actually staged at Silver Lake on like where the S-curves are. And they actually, one of our trees that went down on the shoulder, they were able to use as a prop and have a car that was turned over and did this overnight after hours so then they could use that part of the park. And the snow actually worked out in their best interest because it was a winter car crash scene. So, yeah.
There was an article in the Kenosha News last week, I want to say Friday or Saturday, that'll give you, if you're interested in it, more scoop on that. Because it's the same two local guys, really, from Wilmot, I think. The one went to Wilmot, and the other one went to Burlington High School, I think.
It's called Rainy Day Productions.
Oh, yeah.
Name of their production.
Rainy Day, yeah.
They used the old Wilmot Grade School.
Yeah.
And they used downtown Burlington and the old curves for the downtown. So they've been filming around here for a couple of weeks. Okay, Matt, thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We want to discuss the proposed golf rates for this upcoming season. And we've basically been the same in our golf rates ever since 2010. We adjusted some cart rates at that time, but other than that, the rates have pretty much remained the same since. But we are proposing a little bit of a change in our rates. If we can start with the Kenosha County 2019 golf pass rates. One of the things that we would like to do, we were offering a split payment where you could pay the first half right away and get your benefits and then come back and pay the second half in June by June 15th to use the rest of the year. And we've had very few people that actually use that. So what we're proposing is to do a monthly rate. We're proposing a monthly rate for the Gold Pass of $400 per month. And we do get some people that come late, moving to the area late in the season that want to do this. We have some snowbirds that come up, you know, just for June, July, August that would like to do this. You know, if you pay 4 months, really, you know, you pay pretty much for the Gold Pass, but we require them to pay 5 months, and then they can use the whole season. So it would be a premium to do it monthly rather than do it just by the season. So as far as our Gold Pass, which is our most expensive pass, which is the biggest value-packed pass, we would like to propose that the rate stays the same, but we do offer a monthly pass instead. Moving down the list, the Couple Gold Pass would also have a monthly option of $600 a pass. Moving down the...
Are you expecting them to pay for 5 months doing that? Or if they want a monthly pass, they can just buy a monthly pass?
Yep. And if they buy five times, then that's what they're paying for.
Sure. But that's why I have to get a little confused on which one. Yep. Okay. So they can buy a monthly pass every month or 1 month, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
And then we proposed coming up with a new pass. We came up with the Young Executive Pass, and this would be for young people up to the age of 35. It will be a little bit of a reduced benefit package. It would be $1,200, but you'd get unlimited golf with cart and 2 weeks advance tee time, just like the Gold Pass. The restriction on this pass would be you cannot play before 10 a.m. on the weekends and holidays. Okay, so everything else would pretty much remain the same, although the Gold Pass does offer unlimited range balls for the pass holder. It does offer guest passes also, which the Young Executive Pass would not offer. So it's just something that we're trying to do for the younger crowd, get them involved with our facility, possibly get the demographic of our pass holders to be a little bit younger, so that when they do become pass holders, maybe after they're 35, 36, 37, they're still going to get into that Gold Pass. So our Gold Pass membership is getting older every year, and we just want to come up with something that might appeal to those younger people. Then really the only rate increase that we have proposed for this year is the adult season walking pass, going from $5.95 to $6.95. We still want to provide the best value that we can with the Gold Pass. If you get an adult walking pass plus the cart pass of $600, you're only at the old rate you'd be paying $11.95. And if you add your $5 per time and divide it out, you know, at 50 rounds of golf, it's a better deal still than the Gold Pass. So we're trying to make that Gold Pass more valued, so people might opt on buying that Gold Pass rather than buying the walking pass and then the cart pass. So that's the reason why we're proposing, plus the revenue that it'll gain by an additional $100. And then besides that, with our passes and our regular rates, there is no proposed increases in our regular rates, except we would like to add the 5.5% state tax to all of our rates. Everything here, this is something that we haven't done. We've absorbed the tax in the past, and now that moving forward, we'd like to add those that tax, just because you know, it'll help us keep competitive. It'll help us keep doing the projects that we're doing. We feel that there is many golf courses in our area, mostly the better golf courses in our area, that do add the tax. It could provide us an additional $120,000 worth of revenue for us, instead of absorbing that tax that we have in the past. Now we're wanting to add that tax to all of our rates, all of our charges, all of our golf fees, golf and cart fees. So we think that it's we could still advertise. Our peak rate is $49, so it's still under $50 plus tax. You know, so that's one of our marketing advantages, that we think that we can still offer, you know, very value-packed rates, but instead of absorbing the tax that you'll have to, the people will have to pay for it. So that's our proposals for this year. One other thing that we did was we eliminated the silver couples pass. That was a walking pass, and we haven't sold any of those, so it wasn't. We sold a couple of the silver walking passes, but none of the couple passes, so we want to eliminate that.
So this proposal comes to this committee, doesn't go to the county board, so this is something that we discussed this evening. And I want to explain a little bit of the incentive behind the sales tax. As Dan said there, he said the higher end, but if you go around Lake Geneva and some of the larger golf courses, sales tax is just used at the clubs, at the pro shop, and everywhere. And everyone's used to that. So the theory behind this, a deeper theory, is we've been trying to get these golf courses, and they have been now for 9 years, self-supporting again. But what continues is the need on certain projects to include the golf courses in some of the bonding. This would help build our funds. We're using those, you could call them surpluses, but it's actually the fund that's in the golf course the last few years that has allowed us to do some of our projects. Some of the cart pass and things, certain of those have been on the bonding. So the long-term theory would be no more bonding on golf courses if we can get this extra $120,000 a year that we've been absorbing. So with that, questions?
I want to just echo that. So yeah, it's another step towards becoming self-sufficient. It's not, I'm not going to suggest, based on conversations with Dan and Jim, that we're going to be able, like this year, to turn off bonding completely for golf, but the goal is, this is a step to keep reducing and reducing and reducing that amount that we use for our capital projects at the course. And this is a relatively painless way to do it. Obviously, the golfers are going to be paying for the tax now. We're not going to absorb that anymore under this proposal, but it would still keep our rates from a marketing standpoint. Like Dan said, they're still, the advertised rates will remain the same. It's just that it's plus tax. Most of the higher end courses in the area, as Dan indicated, when they did their survey, they do charge tax. Most of the, I'd say, basic courses in the area don't. Some do, but not all of them do add tax. A lot of times incorporating the rates, just like we've done. It'll be interesting to see if we do this, if they follow suit in an attempt to raise some of their revenue as well, because I think they do tend to look at us as a kind of the market leader in the community. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did. They look for, take a cue from us, and I think it won't hurt the local owners of golf courses either, if they can generate a little more revenue. So that's kind of the thought behind it.
Read it, Art.
Do we have an estimate of what we would be making based off of the last couple of years?
About $120,000.
About $120,000. And I did have a question about the senior walking pass. So this is, and like any other pass, I'm 55 years and older, and it's at any time. So I know you had restrictions on like the junior pass. Is there any restrictions?
Yeah, the senior, the college, and the junior pass is limited to after 1 o'clock on the weekends and before 3:30 on the weekdays. It's not valid for leagues, okay. For our leagues.
I know people, so make sure you get the right information. Thank you.
So with the increase, or the, I'm sorry, the application of sales tax, you want to stair-step it down. So is the plan within 3 years, no more bonding, 2 years, 5 years, what's?
We do have, you know, a big project left that the red irrigation has not been addressed at all since, you know, we've started addressing all the irrigation. So that's going to be a sizable ask for that that bonding for that project. But, you know, hopefully once we get that done, you know, the future looks bright for, you know, things. So, but I don't know when that can go into the capital. Like, you know, it all depends on, you know, other requirements of the county of what, you know, I've been asking it ever since the first day I've been here, but, you know, it hasn't happened yet, so.
And then as far as the rate schedule, when you kind of did your survey, bright and yellow pets are far from a gold pasture, and they're not necessarily a PGA championship course either. Are they right in line with where the market is for our general area, whether it's Lake County, Kenosha, Racine, Walworth?
We're much cheaper than everything in Walworth County. I mean, Walworth County is all based on tourism, and so Grand Geneva National, Hawksview, all those courses are much more expensive. Same thing down in Illinois. There's quite a few golf courses that are much more expensive than we are. But as far as everything else around us, yes, we're right about in the middle of the road. We're not.
Not impressing anybody about comparable with us.
Right.
In the private sector.
Right. We are not.
Okay.
Let me get down. When you took out a tour, you were talking about moving those driving range back so you can get some NCAA tournaments. Is that still in your plan?
We would love to have that done, and it fits well with the red irrigation renovation, so everything would fit the best.
Okay, so you're thinking about doing those simultaneously?
Correct.
Looking at and seeing what that would be when we can. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Dan?
No. But I said this doesn't go to the county board, but I'd like to have a
motion to approve.
Motion by Supervisor Skolinski.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Juhas to approve the rates presented to us here by our staff. All those in favor, give the comments.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much.
They are approved.
So we're finalizing our 2019 business plan. We are getting ready for the Chicago and the Milwaukee golf shows. I'm looking forward to those. Always get some good recognition and some good publicity there. We did a little thing that we're doing a giveaway at our booth, and we're like right on the front page of the Chicago Golf Show's news or email blasts, you know, so really great publicity that we got from that. And then we had great response to the recruitment efforts for the golf course superintendent or supervisor of golf course conditions position at Petrifying Springs. We had 41 applicants. I looked through them. We narrowed it down to 7. We should be doing the interviews next Tuesday, the 12th, and then hopefully again, maybe by the end of that week, we'll do a second interview and then have somebody hopefully on board by the 4th of March. It's really our accelerated plan there, but really looking at some quality individuals that are looking to come and work with us at Petrifying Springs. Other than that, we're rebooking all of our outings, and we're booking groups. We did that survey. I hope that you guys saw that. We got some leads there for outings and leagues, so that was the main crux of that. We had some comments about pace of play and seeing the Rangers and more often, I think that's kind of par for the course. Some people like to play faster, some people like to play slower, so it's difficult to get everybody to play at the same pace. But yeah, we're having a productive off-season. We're installing a couple of electric fireplaces at Brightondale Links that really are going to be sharp-looking. We're working with the Highway Department on the cart path replacement at Petrifying Springs and doing some engineering on that. We've hired a contractor to come in with a FECON head on top of on the front of a high revolution per minute skid steer, and they're going to be taking all the brush. That's what he said he's able to do. You know, we've contracted with him for about 100 hours of work, 110 hours of work, and he's going to try and remove the brush from Brightondale. So I'm so excited about that. I think it's game-changing. I think that, the look of the white course, will put us to where, we can have some PGA events, not tour events, but, my level of PGA, having some state events there. And, it'll be, really, really impressive, I think, once we get all that brush done and then the bunker renovation done. So, and then we're refreshing the clubhouses, painting and replacing some old equipment and old Englishing all the woodwork and things. So that's going well, and all of our supplies and equipment and merchandise is being ordered. We're making sure that Pets has got everything that the new superintendent will need. And then we're going to be replacing our point of sale system, and we'll be having a meeting next week to receive all the RFPs. We'll be evaluating those, and then we'll be making a determination if we're going to stick with what we have from 2010 or try and upgrade to something new with the cash register system. So lots of things happening, in golf, even at this time of year. There's so much, so many different projects and planning and organizing for the season. So it's a lot of fun.
So just a quick question on the Loman Golf Design Master Plan for Pets. Is it radically moving any holes or
no
placement of the pathways,
yeah,
and taking into account drainage? And
right.
Okay.
There's like five positions that they wanted the path to move. I mean, when the paths were put in, I think it was in the middle 80s, they just left it up to the superintendent. They said, go stick some paths there, and they didn't really take the view of the golf hole, from the tee, into account. And Loman, being the architect, said, boy, it sure would be nice if this was over here a little bit more hidden by the trees, and so that you could look out at the hole and be more impressed with it. So there's only five different areas. One is an area to get the people out of the parking lot, when they're going from 9 to 10 because of danger situations, and between 3 green and 4 tee, it's a little bit cramped there, so we want to do some movement there for some safety purposes. But number 6 green, there's an area that we'd like to move it over just to have a little better traffic flow and better conditions around the green. So,
great, thanks.
Okay, well, thank you, Dan. We'll move on. Mike, Trent.
Looking at the ongoing project list, top one is the courthouse chiller replacement project. That project's going along really well, except for last week due to weather. We lost a week there, but the project schedule had that built in, so we didn't lose any time, really. Two new projects added to the list. They're not actually doing them yet, but they're in progress that way. KCAP heat pump replacement, phase one project. It's a 4-year project. This is phase one. We're going to do the basement to replace all the heat pumps in the building. It's a budgeted at $150,000. Specs were done last month. We had a mandatory pre-bid meeting on the 14th. Bids were due the 31st. I got a glance at them, but I haven't really analyzed them yet, so I'll report on that next month. This project's not weather dependent, so it'll go throughout the whole year, one by one. Second project is the PSB employee parking lot repaving. It's a $135,000 budgeted project. The parking lot is not right behind the building, but the one by the apartments. That one's in really rough shape. Specs were completed last year, sent to purchasing, and we're awaiting a pre-bid date. I think it's going to happen next week, so I'll have more information next month on that one. It's the ongoing projects. Questions? The focus on energy project list, nothing new to report. Good.
So the chiller will have it by summer?
Yes, sir. We'll have it before that.
Installed.
In time for AC season, let's put it that way.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Yep.
Frank Martelli, Division Projects.
Mr. Chairman, first project, Anderson Arts Center Preservation Project. We got all of our permits from the city. We started removal of a few of the windows and shutters, and with the architect nailed down the proper procedure for restoring these. Some of them are in pretty tough shape. And the asbestos remediation in the basement should begin tomorrow. No other questions? We're on to branch one, courtroom renovation project. Stuckey Construction was a low bidder. The PO has been issued. We are in the submittal process. Again, we're targeting completion no later than June 1st with an 8-week construction time. Next project is the Public Safety Building Shooting Range Project. The shooting range was open for business on January 15th. They had shooting in there for 3 days straight. Everybody was very impressed with the new modern range, but especially that, I guess before when they were shooting, they'd actually have to stop for a while because there would be too much smoke. The system was so slow in getting the smoke out of there. They have to stop what they're doing. They never had to stop. They had all these recruits in, and they were able to go through it all. So efficiency-wise, it's going to help them greatly. We're just completing the remaining punch list items for that one.
Great.
Next project, ceremonial courtroom restoration scoping project. If you remember last year's budget, money was put in to have restoration architects who we've worked with before on the restoration of the courthouse on Anderson. They did Ruther and, of course, KCAP. For them to go in and do a detailed analysis of everything that's above that drop ceiling. And they started, they scaffolded everything off on January 26th. They're doing detailed analysis, very detailed photos, all the damage that was done up there to put the vents, HVAC ductworks, everything. And they'll compile a complete report with scope and cost estimates.
They're doing that right now?
Yes. They're in the process of everything above the ceiling. Once they get done with that, they'll compile a report for us.
I just wanted to add, because I saw Frank send me some pictures today of this. I saw like a little bit when I went up in the scaffolding one time, popped out a few tiles and saw, you know, this much. But they had probably 80% of the ceiling removed they were able to get to. They couldn't get to the area right up by the bench, by the judge's bench. We're going to just put together a portfolio of things, is all I'm going to say, because it was actually mind-blowing. Some of the stuff up there that was, and we found exactly what we were hoping. Since Frank said that there's some of the writing and stuff that was original. Some of it looks like brand new, like it wasn't touched. There's other areas where, you know, literally holes are blown through stuff, and you can see this all, but the one quote, the architect recognized that it's an Abraham Lincoln quote that goes along, is that the east or the north wall?
It goes all the way around on all four walls, and that's a large courtroom.
It's something from the Civil War. There's all this kind of stuff that we really didn't know was up there. And the architect is kind of blown away at what, he's never seen some of what's up there. So we're hoping that some of the stuff that we found, we're going to be able to work with them to identify foundations and other groups that may be hopefully willing to contribute now that we've found some of this stuff up there. So that, you know, if there were, he's got, we got the original blueprints that Frank was able to have staff, Mike's staff, find Rhonda. And so we're hoping we're going to be able to identify, you know, not only the artist for a lot of this stuff, the architect for it, as well as, you know, some of these other Latin, some of this, there's meaning to everything that's up there. And if we can unbundle that and identify various foundations, hopefully we can hopefully garner some, because this could be something, if somebody's into this stuff where they do the tour, you know, you stop and you look at the Daniel Burnham stuff downtown, and then you come and you look at this, it could be something like that. It's I was blown away at how it's really impressive. And then to see the ductwork, just all the sheet metal that covers it all up, it's just, it's amazing. So we will be putting together, as time goes on, a portfolio of this stuff. But hopefully, like I say, the main reason is we're going to have this information, one, so they can engineer exactly what's going to be needed to restore it and not have any surprises, and two, be able to have documentation so that we can approach some other funding sources and hopefully come up with some assistance.
The statute of limitations on the on the architect and everybody that okayed doing all this is...
I believe it's passed.
Yeah, it's passed.
But it was fascinating.
Just a couple of those guys are still around.
Right.
Just to add to Ray's point, I was blown away. I dug up, you know, we had black and white pictures of when it opened, the book and everything like that, and it really looked impressive. In color, it literally, I was blown away with what they did. But more importantly, you know, really, when it comes to historical restoration, I'm an amateur. The architect, Steve Marple, this is his life, is architecture, restoring architecture. He was blown away. He has never seen both the quality of the work and the quality of the artistry and design. He said he's never seen anything equivalent. So we really, for him to say that, we really have a jewel.
It would be a good resource for private funding to get help him restore it.
We very, very much hope so. No, he actually, he is working on the private side for funding. We're uncovering stones on the public side. We're doing our due diligence.
We're hoping we can come up, and like I said, we'll put together a presentation when we get to that point. But we're going to put a presentation in to go out and solicit funding. So, yeah, I was very impressed. Very impressed.
Anything else? Oh, yeah. No.
Yep, sir.
Wonderful, thank you. The man of the hour, Clement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The county recorded two major snowstorms during January, and also a number of severe weather events, that's minus 24 degrees or 25 on some days. And but as we heard earlier, the crew were up to the task. They did everything to the best of their ability, and there were no major incident except one on the freeway. There was one fatality on I-94, just above, just over State Trunk Highway 50. This was due to the fact that the motorist was driving too fast for snow condition. Apart from the fatality, we did not record any other major incidents as far as this long period of very inclement weather that we had in January. The crew continued doing their general maintenance as well, and maintenance operations that include shouldering, brushing and dishing, pothole repairs and crack sealing. And project updates and County Trunk Highway S project, phase one, the right-of-way acquisition is progressing very well. I know, again, when we do this report, sometimes we do them ahead of schedule and by the time we are reporting here, they're all obsolete. But anyway, I would just like to give an update for phase one. Out of, that is for the full take, out of 11 full takes that we are supposed to do, we have closed on 8. So it's going very well. The only challenge we might be facing with will be to get the tenants to vacate, which that's another process. Other than that, I think the relocation process is going on very well. For phase two, we've closed on all, on 12 out of 16 relocations that we're supposed to acquire, properties that we're supposed to acquire, we've closed on 12 out of 16. We are envisioning some challenges with three, or technically four, but there are actually three property owners. And the county has retained an attorney to help us with these situations. We are hopeful that in the next month or two, we'll be able to resolve these cases. The partial acquisition is for phase two is also ongoing, and so far no issue recorded. Notwithstanding, all these projects are still scheduled for construction to start in spring of 2020.
So the only thing I want to mention, Clement, you've got it in the report there, is for on the, some of the partial takes, you've actually got folks that want us.
Yes. Yeah,
so explain that maybe a little bit.
Yeah, the challenge we're having with the partial takes is not that they don't want to sell. They want to sell their entire property. Unfortunately, we can only acquire what we need for the project. Some of them has already, they came all the way to the county to see me and to express their willingness to sell the entire property. So far, so good. And well, we're not envisioning any major concern, but we hope that they will not force us to take their entire property. By law, they cannot do that anyway. For County Trunk Highway F project, early real estate acquisition has begun for this project. The county has begun discussions with the town of Randall and village of Twin Lakes to identify potential actions related to adjacent properties and adjacent properties to roads that could optimize project benefits for all stakeholders. We'll keep the committee informed of these discussions. The project is also still on schedule for spring 2020 construction.
To go back, but on the phase two, or any of these partial acquisitions, right, where the individual wants to try to sell the entire parcel, how of the ones that are approaching you on parcels that are left over, approximately how much land is left? Is it enough to do anything with, or leave them with a sliver? You know what I'm saying?
So typically, you can tell me where I'm wrong, but typically my understanding when we talk about these is, we need to take just a sliver of their property, and they've got their house yet, and but they just don't like the idea that it's going to be a four-lane road now they're in their neighborhood, and they'd really like to sell their whole thing, but we don't. So their property's still totally viable the way it is. It's that's the majority. I think all the cases are that. They really just, we only need a little sliver for what it is we need to do, but they'd like us to purchase their house and all the other property they've got, just because they don't want to pay.
Understood.
But it's just, we don't have the project budget to do that.
Yeah.
And it's just not, it's not the way we've ever done anything in that
regard. Well, they want to sell the residents. On the other hand, I know a few of these parcels that are left over being that 2 to 3 acre size. And, we've had this, this back and forth discussion. And I'm working with the village because nobody is going to be building a residence along a divided 4 or 5 lane state highway. If you are, you're nuts. So I've been trying to work with the village board and then administration to take a look at their longer term plan. And there's a stronger interest in starting to zone those commercial, light manufacturing, things of that nature, which make a lot of sense. They're that doesn't help a couple residents, and I think I know which ones you're talking about. But some of these others, it may be wise for them to hang on if it's, if the building is being removed, right? But they have a 1 or 2 acre parcel. Because if the village, and there is interest here, right? Because you're not going to, I wouldn't approve zoning residential. So,
right.
Just, so that might give us another option there. We're deep into this thing. But it may give some of these landowners some pause that maybe if I hang on to its own commercial value. I'll talk to you guys after.
Okay. I just wanted to add a little something on the F situation. The county exec and myself met with the board president for Randall and the board president for the village last week, week before, just to go over some of the things that could be done to kind of tie up loose ends as the new Highway F goes through there. For those of you familiar with that area, there's a lot of, by the Triangle Bar and then areas north of that, there's a lot of kind of inaccessible, privately owned properties right now. And so we were looking at some ways that we could tie up a bunch of loose ends to make those private properties not only more saleable, but also some remnant county properties more saleable so we could get them back in private hands. And so that was what the initial conversation was. We actually got a follow-up meeting with them this week, because they were open to the idea. They were going to check with some of the property owners out there. And so then, as this develops, hopefully it will develop into something where we end up, like I say, tying up a bunch of loose ends, making the whole land value for everybody out there more valuable, making it safer from an access standpoint to the new road, and then being able to jurisdictionally transfer some remnant pieces of old Highway F when it's all said and done, too, in a logical kind of way. So probably not going to be a 5-minute ordeal, but we'll keep the committee updated as we do that.
Can I be, get, let me know when that meeting is. I'd like to attend it.
Sure. It'll be, I'm pretty sure it says Wednesday at 3:30.
Wednesday, what time?
Wednesday at 3:30 up here.
Wednesday, this Wednesday.
That'll be Bob Stoll, Howard Skinner, Dennis, myself, and you.
Thank you.
So that's all I wanted to add.
Well, yeah, so County Trunk Highway F Project 2 is still on schedule for spring 2020 construction. County Trunk Highway K project from County Trunk Highway H to CP Railroad. The design process is on schedule. However, the design team has now identified a number of significant utility relocation issues involved in this project. So the utility companies are expressing concerns with the scheduling and the amount of work involved with the relocation of all the utility facilities in the area. So the design team is working with the utility companies to see how we can expedite it at a cost-effective manner. We are still in discussion with the utility companies. Right-of-way acquisition, well, it's supposed to have begun, but because of the last snow, it was delayed. And so it probably be starting sometime this week or no later than next week. And we are hoping to complete the real estate acquisition by May of 2019. And Foxconn and related DOT projects, County Trunk Highway KR enhancement project. The design is progressing and on schedule for construction to start in the spring of 2020. A public hearing has been scheduled for February 28th, after which the environmental document will be approved. The right-of-way acquisition will commence as soon as the environmental document is approved. The county has reached out to the DOT to obtain updates on the status of the Foxconn project. If you have read the papers recently and some of the media carried out that some of the functions planned for the Foxconn project might not be taking place. So we tried to reach out to the department to get updates on what the situation is as far as Foxconn plans for having the LCD manufactured here on this campus. Unfortunately, we didn't get any feedback from them, but recent, if you read the Kenosha news, I think with the intervention of the president, I think they are back on course again to manufacture those LCDs in this on this campus.
The only other thing I wanted to add is I talked to Andy Bueller, Planning and Development Director. He had some additional information, and Andy's got a better memory than me. The article that was picked up by Reuters last Wednesday that went international, the quotes and the quotes from the individuals in Foxconn that were brought out last Wednesday were not similar to, they were exactly the same as the statements that he made back in August 24th of last year. There was absolutely nothing new in what he was saying. Why it got picked up and why the international media ran with it, Lord only knows. But that was it. There was nothing. I mean, it was word for word, exactly the same. Andy remembered it, and he then emailed me the article. And the other thing that Andy it was aware of, because he goes to another set of meetings related to Foxconn, is there, if you go out there today on site, there's a 3 million square foot poured slab concrete that's there, ready for the walls to go up as soon as precast concrete's available to start installing again. So, he said, so that's to perspective, the two Amazon buildings are 1.5 million square feet combined. So it's twice that, one solid slab is on the ground ready to start. So what happened last week? Lord, it's anybody's guess. But the bottom line is that's what we know from our internal sources. So the DOT didn't get back to Clement. I know he reached out to a couple different contacts he's got there, but as far as we're concerned at this point, we haven't heard anything. It's keep right on rolling. So,
as far as the County Trunk Highway KR project is concerned, it's still ongoing. We'll get more information next week when we have our regular design team coordination meeting.
Any questions? I get the northbound access ramp open on KR.
Yeah, it's open.
It was causing some issues.
It's causing some issues.
It's a little, yeah.
Confusing, so they're going to get it straightened out.
I think
you mean plowing lines? Or?
No, the signage. The
signage.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, there was, it's kind of messed up. It's DOT, yeah. I don't think they changed it yet.
Yeah, they've made some improvements, but they'll still be working on it. It's still a work in progress because it's a construction zone, and you know with construction zone, things change depending on what the stage of the construction is. But I talked to, luckily I was at the DOT office and I talked to their public information officer and he said they're working very hard to make sure that all those things are straightened out before the next construction season starts, which will be sometime in spring. However, I think there's an improvement on the signage to keep traffic where they're supposed to be, because traffic going westbound were mistakenly going on southbound off-ramp, thinking they were going on-ramp. So that was the challenge. So they had to tweak the signage such that you keep them back and you take the northbound on-ramp without going southbound off-ramp. So, but so far, I think the good thing is that there no incident was recorded because of that. So that was a good thing. And then the last part of my report generally is the long-term closures. As you can see, the closures are shrinking and shrinking, and hopefully by the end of the year, we should have none of this long-term closure on this sheet of paper. Yeah, again, I would like to continue, but I've run out of information.
Totally fine. Did very well in the Mr. Fix-It column, if that's what they call that one.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yeah.
Is it today?
No.
I didn't see that.
You're in there quite a bit, Bill.
I didn't see that, though.
Yeah. What's the solution?
Thank you.
So, thank you, Clement. Great.
Yes, so wanted to go over, this is actually the first item I've got to talk about is similar to the County Highway S situation that we handled last month. This is, if you look at the map that's attached to the back of this, hopefully, it shows you the block, which is, I'll use the technical term, kitty corner from the block that the K-cab's on. This is bounded by 56th Street on the north, the train tracks are 13th Avenue on the west, 11th Avenue on the east, 57th on the south. This is where the fleet maintenance building is located, and the map does a good job, I think, of showing all the properties that we currently own on that block right now. In looking at where, from a technical standpoint, as well as a practical standpoint, where would be the ideal location for the tower that we need to add downtown near the public safety building to accommodate the simulcast public safety communication system. This really would be the ideal spot. It, from a technical standpoint, it works. It still covers. We need something as far east and ideally near the safety building to minimize costs to link those two. Right near the lake, because that's where the dead spots are, as far south as Pleasant Prairie and as far north as Summers, all along the lake. This tower will allow us to install the communications equipment necessary for eliminating those dead spots on the east side. These properties would basically clean up that block in terms of county ownership. The only piece of property we would not own on that block is the very southwest corner. It's a commercial building with a number of tenants, and we're not interested in pursuing that because of the complexities potentially associated with that property. But these four residents would allow us, it would complete the circle, it would permit us then to put the tower, we ideally do not want to put the tower on 56th Street, which is high value property, which who knows what at some point we're going to need to do with that from a building standpoint. But this would allow us to put a tower probably, I'm going to say almost, the GPS coordinates that we submitted to the FCC, it's almost in the dead center of that, this kind of this yellow block here that would provide not only adequate sighting for the tower and the support building necessary for it, but also provides for a safety fall zone around the tower. The tower is going to be 199 feet tall. It's not critical. It's not, I shouldn't say it's not mandated that we have to have that fall zone around there, but it is, it's one of those engineering ideals. You do like to have a fall zone if you can create a situation like that. So basically what this resolution would authorize us to do is to start formal pursuit of these four properties. What has happened with all the properties the county's acquired in the what we call the Civic Campus, the ones across the street on 56th Street, the ones near KCAP, all those properties have been done in an informal way. Either the person has approached us and said, hey, would you guys be interested in buying this? Or Corporation Council has made an initial informal overture, hey, if you ever want to sell, you know, we'd be interested type of thing. And that's how all these properties have been acquired, unless it was a tax deed situation. Some of them have been acquired on tax deed situation as well. These four properties, the Corp Council started about a year ago. Joe had actually sent them notes and then attempted, they're all owner-occupied as far as we know. One person responded to him and said, yeah, I'm definitely interested. The others, there was just no response. Not forget about it, I'm not interested, just no response. He attempted to get phone numbers and tried to call them. I think he did get phone numbers for some of them, and I believe he left voicemails. He just never got any response. So now we're at a point where we just want to be able to start to move in a more formal, okay, we're interested, we can actually engage a third party, core engineering, not single source, to contact these folks. That's what would be the next step in the process, to actually start a formal, the county's interested in your property, we'd like to sit down and talk and negotiate this. Before we do that and do a formal process, we want to step back and put in place the same thing we did like for County Highway S in case this does go down a more formal path. That's basically what this resolution is. It's a resolution of necessity
to do that. It basically states, in very basic terms, what we use the property for. So this resolution would be just like the one we did last month, in that it would go from Public Works to Finance Administration and then to the full board. That's basically what it's about.
The buildings then would be raised?
Right. So these
including
these
would, the ones that are already the former daycare, the other one in green as well?
Right. Not the fleet maintenance. Okay. That guy's staying, yeah.
Okay, so this will be clear out so you have a 190-foot clear
right.
Ball.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's the concept. Probably would have an access drive
sure. That
would go right on to 57th. And to give you a little background for some of these, I mean, you'll see it when you go. You know, it's one of those areas you all drive by when you're going on, but you don't really think about it. Well, this block to the east is the back end of the city's dinosaur museum, and there's a couple other things there. Kitty corner from that to the south east is just a parking lot for Ruther, and then there's some properties, mainly residential, across the street that I wouldn't say they're somewhat challenged. The neighborhood was somewhat challenged for a lot of years. I think actually a lot of what we've been doing down there has actually added value to the neighborhood. With the restoration of the fleet maintenance building and some of the other cleaning up some of the other challenge properties that were on that block. So that's basically what it's about. There's money in the budget to acquire the properties. We've had money over the years accumulating in the kind of Civic Center project area budget for these kinds of things. That's the basic concept.
Okay, thank you.
Do I have a sense of the property?
Yeah, if you look at the assessed values, they're really low. I think that they probably the average, well, I'd say the range is from about 45,000 to 60-ish, I would say. And yeah, the average is maybe 50 grand. The one guy that was interested in talking to us was, I believe, the second one to the right of the fleet maintenance. The 007 is the parcel, last three digits of the parcel. He was interested, but he bought the property, unfortunately, just prior to the crash. So he paid about double what the assessed value is. It may, in fact, be close to that now when we actually do. We haven't gotten appraisals on any of these or anything yet. So it may, in fact, be close to that. But the assessed value is always lagging behind that. So
are we planning to at least get appraisals before we start engaging?
Yes. In fact, I know that the appraisal process is going on right now. CORE started that because they can start to identify comparables. They've started that part of the process, but they have had no contact with any of the property owners.
Now, is there another site, an alternate site for this tower that you guys have come up with, or is this it?
We've looked at, most, if not all, the potential sites in the immediate area. You know, the first area we looked at was the parking lots on the north side of the safety building. We've got a tower there already, but we've really got, in light of the generator that we just put there, our fuel tanks for underground storage are there, and there's very limited parking, and we're short of parking in the public safety building area as it is right now. So we really kind of ruled that out early on. We then looked to the west and started to look at some of the other properties that we've got that are on 56th Street or right next to 56th Street. We really don't, part of that stuff has been acquired not with necessarily a grand plan in place at this point, but we know that there's going to be one to two more branches of Circuit Court that are going to be coming in the next, depending on how things grow, could be anywhere from 5 to 10 years. At that point, we're probably going to need to move functions out of any non-court, direct court-type functions out of the courthouse, attempt to keep all courts in the courthouse, but anything that isn't directly a court out of the courthouse, we're going to have to find space for those functions. So potentially the clerk of courts, beyond clerk of courts.
Corp Council.
Corp Council, yeah, that's right, the whole basement. Yeah, all that would have to come out. We'd have to move them into areas. Again, you'd want them adjacent or pretty darn close to KCAP. So at what point that's all going to occur, don't know. But at least we'll have real estate by preserving those prime areas on 56th Street, both north and south, for those kinds of things, as well as parking. Because we know, based on parking study we did about
four years ago, we literally figured out peak times between customer traffic and worker traffic and shift changes in the public safety building. We figured out how many spots we need, and we did a real detailed analysis. And we're pretty much right at, we can cover it right now, but any changes to what we've got, and we're going to need to create additional parking down there as well.
And that's something that's
so that's why we've kind of, in looking at everything we've got, this would be an area that's kind of in the close proximity of the safety building. So in terms of running like fiber to connect it, it's going to be minimal cost-wise. It's in a perfect north-south kind of corridor from a technical standpoint to cover what we need to from Summers to Pleasant Prairie from a coverage standpoint. And we feel it's probably, it is the best area from a impact to other things in the area. This is why we're recommending it.
And do you get a sense of a lack of response from these other owners that they don't want to move? Don't have a sense for that.
Don't have a sense. The one property I know we almost had, she was 3 years delinquent in taxes and then worked something out with the treasurer. So I don't know, that's about the only thing we know of that parcel. I think that's the number 10, I believe that's that parcel. The other ones we just don't know. So it could be that folks really don't want to sell, don't know that. Or it could be that, I don't know what that is. If I just ignore it, it'll probably just go away. And we have no idea. Because we've not had any direct contact or response from any of them, other than the one guy.
Right, and the reason I bring it up is because just
conversations we've had with him. Clement's worked with them before on other projects, so he has got some insight, and that's why he recommended them. And so we're going to use him on this as our first, because single stores has historically been the county's real estate acquisition, and we haven't had problems. But again, as I've told you, we haven't had projects of the scope and scale and number of that we've got going on now either. So it was a good time to try another consulting firm.
Anyways, that makes no sense. And then also connecting from ESB is most economical in this kind of location as opposed to 15 blocks away or something. Okay. Thank you.
John?
Yeah, speaking of parking, would you be able to put any parking underneath the tower there, or is that impractical?
No, that is actually a potential use, because it would be in the fall zone, yes, but it's not human beings or residents or, occupied 24/7. It would be parking. So that would be an appropriate use. The only, and it may be something we'd have to work out, not maybe, it would have to be something we'd have to work out with the city. My initial conversations with the city on this proposal to do this is that we would have to do some zoning tweaks, but they didn't see any problem with that. And then they have a specific ordinance regarding communications towers that they modified when we put up the 60th Street tower, and it would have to be tweaked a little bit to accommodate this tower as well, but they didn't see issues with either of those things when I talked with them. So to your point, parking would be a conversation piece with them as well.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, this we send to finance and then to the county board if we approve.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Kalinske.
Second
by Supervisor Norton. Any further discussion? Good to governance. Committee?
Aye.
I'll just say a couple quick comments just to wrap things up. Month of January, as the chairman pointed out, was quite busy. January is not a slow month for public works. Really proud of everybody getting through. The snow was one thing, but bitter cold. We had some challenges, but I think we anticipated a lot of stuff, and we dodged. I'm going to say we dodged some bullets too, but it was nothing that we weren't aware of. There was a lot of there's a lot of technical things that can go wrong when it gets down to the temperatures that we had. And I believe all our buildings came through relatively unscathed, given that there were some primary power outages on Wednesday last week, that some of the areas of Pleasant Prairie had some, Twin Lakes had some, a couple areas in Kenosha, Summers had some as well. We were fortunate that everything that we needed to have work, worked, and it was only because people had taken precautionary stuff, actions beforehand. Let's see, what else? And Matt, with his projects, what we're seeing is that for actually Matt's projects and some of Frank's, the smaller building construction projects, so far we're getting pretty darn good competitive numbers yet. It's only those projects that are site work intensive where the numbers are coming in high. As he said, that the Bristol Parkway one, those numbers all came in over budget. Whereas the bathroom at Pets, we had all those came, four of those came out of seven within budget, and then one other project came within, all of them came within budget. So we're just monitoring things real closely. Frank's courtroom, the one that we, the branch one, we had a good number of bids on that, and we got a very competitive bid. So it's just, and we're hearing that from architects too, for smaller building construction project, we're still getting good numbers. It's anything that involves a lot of excavation, site work, that the numbers are coming in high. I will just continue to moderate and do what we can to bring things in on budget. That's pretty much it.
Okay.